John chapter 13. The Gospel of John chapter 13. I don't know if that's on. Is that on? All right, it's on. The Gospel of John chapter 13. And if you would stand with me when you found your place for the reverence of God's Word as we read it here. John chapter 13. And begin reading in verse number 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I always find that so touching from the Lord. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from the supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt not never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we do thank you again for this time together in your house. We're thankful, Father, to be able to worship together, to sing songs together. We pray now, Lord, that during the preaching of your word, that you would give us, Lord, that which we need the most. And we ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I do want to read another portion of Scripture to go along with this, and that is in the book of James, chapter 4. And I'm going to mark this one. James, chapter number 4. And reading in verse number 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of God, of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. This morning, I'd like to preach a message to you. We had Jesus there after the Lord's Supper. He came out and he got a basin and he went and washed the disciples' feet. And here in the book of James, we are instructed to draw nigh to God, to cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And so this morning, I'd like to preach a message on the basin, the soap, and the towel. And the basin, the soap, and the towel. You know, I've never known it to be any other way. You have to wash. And if you read the Old Testament, Brother Goffin is talking about the law in the Old Testament. There's all kinds of washings that take place there. Washing is very important. Cleanliness is very important, and I do remind you this, that as you're reading the Old Testament law, there are moral laws contained in there, And while the ceremonial law is done away with, the moral laws continue to today. And part of that whole concept of being clean, you've heard the saying before, cleanliness is next to godliness. God is all about being clean, is He not? And I consider that a moral thing, okay? I don't think that's ceremonial, even though they had ceremonial washings. Even in the New Testament, God talks about us being clean. Now, the disciples ate with unwashing hands, and they were missing the point of that. But I do believe God wants us to be clean. If you look in the Old Testament, you will find that God tells, I believe it was Elijah, to take a girdle and bury it in the dirt. And he left it there for a long period of time. He said, now go dig it up and put it on. He dug it up, put it on. He didn't wash it. No doubt it stunk. It was filthy. He was not allowed to bathe. God told him not to bathe. I don't know if you've ever been around anybody who hasn't bathed. I don't like me when I've not bathed. There have been times when I worked at FedEx and we'd be working all night and I would sweat and sweat and sweat, and I felt badly for the people who had to ride the bus with me because I knew how bad I stunk. Amen. There's nothing worse than stinking, is there? Yet people are stinking in the nostrils of God because they will not be clean. God has made the cleaning process very simple. And here is Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, we see that He had a basin and a towel, and we have soap. Amen. That's even in the Bible. Soap is in the Bible. And I had to laugh and chuckle myself today when Brother Goffinette mentioned that, because I'm preaching on the basin, the soap, and the towel. Amen. So I believe God knows all these things. That's why it all works together that way. But let's begin. Let's talk first of all about the basin. About the basin. You know, there in the book of James, I'm sorry, I should have kept that mark. Back here in the book of James, and in chapter number 4, he said this, but He giveth more grace, whereof He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. God wants us to be clean. We have to start somewhere. Amen? And so we start with the basin. As we read the account of Christ, He got a basin, and the basin had water in it. Now, I don't believe He just grabbed the basin and started washing feet. I believe there's some things that you and I would do if you were going to wash something in this basin. I believe there are some simple, logical steps we'd take. I think, first of all, we would empty it. You know, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. We are going to wash, amen, with water, amen. And that's what God gave us the Bible for. It's for the washing of the water by the Word, that He might present unto Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You ever ironed clothing and there's wrinkles in it? You know what gets those, helps iron those wrinkles out a lot easier? A little bit of water. Matter of fact, we got an iron at home. It's fancy. It's got a little button you push on it. And when you do, steam spits out onto the cloth as you iron it. Man, that makes those wrinkles just disappear. Water is important to cleansing, amen? Water's important. Now, we had the water here, sat here for a month in the pipes. Now, I don't know about you, I used to have to monitor the eyewash stations. We had to clean those out. Every month we had to run water, because if you didn't, you know what happened to that water? It would get stagnant in the pipes. We had one that hadn't been checked for a year.
ran the water out of that, it was all black. That was city water. Clean water. Amen? It's important that we have clean water. That's why God has given us His undefiled, preserved Word. Amen? So that we can have some clean water. But if we're going to use this basin, if we're going to wash with water in this basin, the first thing you're going to have to do is empty it. Why would you have to empty it? Well, because you don't know how long whatever's in there has been in there now, do you? See, a basin is like our heart. It's like our heart. If we would be clean before God, the first thing a person's going to have to do, they're going to have to empty their heart. They're going to have to get all the junk out of it. Amen? You got to get all the junk out of it. The Bible said in the book of Psalms, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. Talking about Jesus on the cross. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Think about that. He said, I am poured out like water. Emptied. Emptied. He was suffering for who? Himself? No. For you and I. He was poured out. We've got to empty our hearts of junk. Junk thinking, amen. People all the time are saying stuff and they don't even realize that's junk thinking. That's junk thinking. Listen, if you look in the mirror and you say, I'm just so ugly. That's junk thinking. That's junk. That is junk thinking. What makes you who you are is not what your face looks like. It's who you are in your heart. And that always shows out in the face. It always does. Listen, you need to get the junk thinking out of your heart. I'm useless. I can't do anything. That's junk thinking. Nobody loves me. Junk thinking. Nobody cares. Junk thinking. You need to pour that out. Amen. You need to get that stuff out of your heart. You need to get it out of your mind. It's got to get dumped out. Amen. You gotta stop putting junk in there. Stop it. Stop putting junk in the basin. He said this. Job said, why is light given to a man whose way is hid? And I'm sure lost people feel this way sometimes. Why? You know, they understand, but they don't get it. They've heard the Word of God, but they just don't understand. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. He said, I'm poured out. Got to empty that basin. Get rid of all the junk. You know, that the whole book of Job is the process of Job emptying out his heart. That's what the whole book of Job... He's going through a process. He suffered calamities. Multiple. Calamity upon calamity. And he's pouring his heart out. He's emptying it. For a purpose. See, his friends, they're coming out there and his friends. They're telling, well, Job, it's because of something you did wrong. Job hadn't done nothing wrong per se. I mean, he wasn't perfect. No one was perfect except Jesus. But he was a righteous man. He feared God and eschewed evil. But even the best of us, when we have difficulty, Sister Carrie was talking about her and God having it out. Amen. You got to dump it out. You got to pour all the... Ladies in their purses. You know, you ask a lady for something, she knows right where it is in her purse. My wife asked me to get something out of her purse. I want to go. Because I can't find it. I try to be patient, and you know, because that's not my purse. Amen. I can't dump your heart out. You're going to have to do that. You have to dump it. You got to empty it. Amen. And then the next thing, if you're going to use this basin, you're going to need to clean it. You want to wash your face in the dirty basin? You know, when I was in boot camp and we went up in the mountains, and well, when we go out there in the field, I had a steel pot, which was my helmet. And every day, I would wash and brush my teeth and shave out of my steel pot. You know the first thing I did when I pulled my steel pot out to bathe with it? Put some water in it, rinsed it out. I cleaned it. And then I was very specific about the grooming process thereafter. What order I did what with this water. I shaved last. I didn't spit my toothpaste in there either. Because I wanted it to be clean when I washed. So first you're going to have to empty it. And that's what a person needs to do. They need, if they want to be cleansed before God, they're going to have to pour their heart out. They're going to have to go to God. They're going to have to get all the junk out. And then it's going to need to be cleaned. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said this, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Understand, all this process takes place by the use of the word of God. You pour this out, and then you take the word of God to get your thoughts right in your heart so it's clean. Amen? You got to get this thing clean. All this in order for it to be used. You want to be used to God? You got to pour out your heart to Him. You got to get cleaned up. Amen? You got to get some of that washing of the water by the Word. Listen to these Psalms. Psalms 119 is full of these kind of things. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." That's the reason, children, we want you to memorize Bible verses. So that you'll have the word of God, clean water in your heart to keep you from sinning against God. Because see, you can sin against me. You don't want to sin against God. If you sin against me, God will tell you to make it right. So you don't sin against Him. But you got to clean it out. You got to get something good in there so it's clean, so it's usable. He says here, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope." You see, you're getting the heart clean. You get some good hope in there, amen? Instead of all those negative, destructive thoughts, you get some hope in there, amen? Clean that out and get you some hope from the Word of God. He said this, "Thy Word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it." That's why I love the Word of God. It's very pure. It's very pure. There is nothing that you can put in your heart and mind more pure than the Word of God. It's what we need. He said this, Romans chapter 10, "But what saith it?" The word, that word of faith that we preach, what saith it? He said, "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. See, you got to empty it. You got to clean it. And then you got to fill it with the Word of God. You got to fill it. See, Jesus didn't just, there's a basin. Somebody's been spitting in it, but it'll be good enough to wash people's feet with. I don't think He did that at all. I think He found one. I mean, that's what I'd do.
I'd find a basin. I'd look at it. Oh, well, I need to clean it out. Get the cobwebs out of it and everything, you know. And I'd put clean water in it. That's what I'd do, wouldn't you? Amen. The basin. Your heart. Get the junk out. Clean it out. And then fill it with some good, clean water. That's what you do with the basin. Well, now let's talk about the soap. This is a bar of soap. I won't say the name. But it's a bar of soap. Boy, I can sure smell it. Smells good. Soap is very important to cleaning, I think. Amen? In the book of Malachi, the Bible says this, "But who may abide the day of His coming, and who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like a refiner's soap and like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." Why is He using the soap? Because He wants them to be able to offer an offering in righteousness. You see, because there's a lot of things. You read the Bible. The prayer of the wicked, the Bible says, is an abomination to the Lord. All these people say, "Well, I pray." But they don't know God. They're not saved. Their prayer is an abomination to the Lord. They need some soap, amen. They got to have some soap. They got to have something so that they can offer in righteousness. Because we know that by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Right? We need something better than our good works, our good intentions, our good thought. This guy come up yesterday while we were over there, stopped by on his bicycle, wanted to use the bathroom. And well, I tell everybody, when I'm on Sunday on my bike, I'm in church. Oh, my stars. I didn't even go there. We had work to do. I didn't have time to debate theology with somebody who had no ammunition. Amen. See, he thinks that because he thinks it's okay, it must be okay. And it's not. Jesus didn't die for His bicycle. Amen. He didn't die for this building. But He did die for us, the church, did He not? He loves us. We meet together. This is the church house. You're the church. The soap. He is like a fuller soap. You know what a fuller is, don't you? That's the guy who washes the wool on the sheep. And gets it all white. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet," He said, "they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be whiter than snow." He's got the soap. He's got the soap. Amen. Think about soap. Let's look at three things about soap. First of all, well, John, he said, 1 John, let me give you this verse. He says, "But if we walk together as He is in the light," if we walk in the light as He is in the light, "we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Let's make that clear. Our soap is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what washes away our sin. Amen. Is the blood of Jesus Christ. The soap. That's why He's got that fuller soap. He's trying to make us white as snow. First of all, the thing about soap is it must be recognized. Okay? It has to be recognized. You know, there's been times when I've been doing dishes. And I'm washing some dishes. I got some soapy water there, sort of soapy. But I wash the dish and it still feels like it's got a film on it. Now, I could just ignore the film and say, "Well, I put it in some water." See, she's already cringing just at the thought of it. You should have seen her face. I wish I could have shown it to her. So what I do is, I say, this isn't getting it clean enough. You know what I need? I need some soap. So I take the bottle, and I rub that soap on there real good until it feels clean. See, because I recognize the need for soap. See, a person who does not recognize that they need to be washed is never going to use soap. Or just not. And you know, you can tell yourself all day long your hair is fine because you put water in it and combed it that morning. But I got news for you, it still looks greasy. Because it needs soap. But you got to recognize the soap. You have to understand it's what you need. If a person's going to be born again, they have to understand they need the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away their sin. They need it. It's not an option. Not, well, you know, I read the Bible from time to time. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you read the Bible. But the Bible will tell you, you need your sin washed away by the blood of Christ. That's what you need. And that's what Jesus was talking to Peter about. Peter, you know, Jesus washed his feet, and Peter said, oh, you're never going to wash me, because, you know, he was the master, and he wasn't going to have him washing him. Well, if I don't wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Then Peter was concerned, wasn't he? Because he said he wanted to have everything to do with Jesus. Well, then not just my feet, my head, my hands, wash me all over. And he said, Peter, those that are clean with the soap need not save to wash their feet. See, you didn't need a whole body wash. Just need to get the junk, the dirt from off the world, off his feet. And that's the way it is for a Christian. You don't need to be saved all over again. You got washed once with the blood. But you do got to get the dirt from the world off your feet. Amen? You got to do that. You got to get that dust off. Amen? But you got to recognize there's a time when you need soap. You need soap. You have to recognize the soap. John chapter 6, and Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat my flesh, eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now that's a pretty plain statement, isn't it? Without the blood, you have no life. He said in 2 Corinthians, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You have to recognize the soap. You have to see you need soap. Now here's the second thing about the soap. This is soap. I could recognize I need it, but I can't use this way, can I? I'm going to have to open it. I'm going to have to get the soap out of this. If I had a bottle of liquid soap, I'd have to squeeze it out of the bottle, wouldn't I? You have to get the bottle, you have to get the soap out. It has to be opened. In Matthew chapter 26, the Bible says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins. Jesus got the blood out, amen? He didn't just bring the soap, he got it out. That's what was happening when they were beating him with that cat of nine tails. You suppose he didn't bleed? He bled, he sure did. When they put that crown of thorns on his head, you think he didn't bleed? He sure did. You think when those soldiers were punching him in the face, they didn't cut his face with their fists? They sure did. And when that soldier pierced his side with that spear and blood and water came out, amen, he got the soap out. He shed his blood. The soap is out. Amen. It's available to be used. His blood has been shed. He said for the remission of sins. He said this in Luke. He said likewise in the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. It's not just for the remission of sins. It's for the remission of your sins. For you. Amen. I can open this bar of soap and say, man, Brother Tom, you need some soap. Let me open this up for you.
I can open up for you. I can bring it to you. That's what Jesus did. He brought the soap. And he opened it up. But I got news for you. Just because I bring the soap and open it up doesn't mean it's going to be applied. It's got to be applied. Now, when I was in boot camp, we had a guy in our platoon who... I don't know where he's raised, but he didn't bathe or wash his uniforms for 2 weeks. And finally, one day, his squad leader told the drill instructor that he had not bathed or washed his uniform for 2 weeks as we moved him to the very back away from the rest of us. We took his stuff and moved it back there. And when they asked why, we told him. That drill instructor came up. I'm not going to say his name in case he might someday hear this. But hey, you haven't been bathing for 2 weeks. You haven't washed your uniform. You're going to. And they made him the next day. It was Sunday. That's all he did all day long. They gave us these stiff brushes so we could wash our uniforms on the concrete slabs out there. Now, we didn't have no washing machines. This was the Marine Corps, not the Air Force. Amen. We had to wash them. And he told him, he said, and if you don't get a shower today and every day until you get graduated, this platoon, I'm going to have all these guys get out their bristle brushes and they're going to give you a bath. We were going to apply the soap for him. Amen. And that was unpleasant. When I got bitten by a dog, and I had that, they had to scrub that with a special soap. I couldn't do it myself. I wouldn't have done it myself. But boy, that nurse just went to town on it. Amen. She did it for my good, but I didn't like the way it felt. I was going to tell you, sometimes people are not going to like the way it feels. But they need the blood applied. The soap has to be applied or the cleaning won't take place. Amen? You have to apply the soap. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness of the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that had loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It has to be applied. The night that I asked the Lord to save me, I knew that I needed the blood. I knew He'd opened it up. But I had to use it. I had to come and ask Him to forgive me of my sins, to save my soul. I needed the blood applied. Amen? Well, we've looked at the basin. We've looked at the soap. Let's look at the towel. Let's look at the towel. Three things. The towel. You know, I don't know if you've ever noticed this about a towel. But, any of you ever made a towel? This doesn't all just go one way, does it? There's fibers running this way and running this way. And you'll notice this one, it has a border around it. You know why? So it doesn't unravel. Because it's got to be held together. The towel. Jesus had a towel there. After he washed her feet, he had a towel. There are three parts to washing with a towel. We saw the fibers and the border. Let me give you three things
about the towel. It is a picture of conviction. A picture of conviction of sin. You see, we need to be rubbed the wrong way. That's why the towel has fibers running different ways, not just to give it form, but because it needs to scrub. It needs to rub. Amen? For a person to be clean, for someone to desire to be right with God, they're going to have to come under conviction. There needs to be some rubbing that goes on. Some rubbing. There's been several people that in the past that I've witnessed to, and all they did was got mad at me.
Because I was rubbing them.
And they could tell that there was some friction between them and God. But they didn't want to blame it on God. They blamed it on me. But later, they went and talked to somebody else who told them what I said was true, and they end up getting saved. Amen. So I'm glad God let me rub. Let me use a towel for some conviction. Amen. He let me be a part of that process. The rubbing, the conviction. You've got to be one of the fibers in this towel. Amen. You've got to be part of that process. Not that you're going around trying to make people feel bad, but when you give them the Word of God, when you tell them the truth, the Holy Spirit of God convicts them of their sin. There must be conviction. He said this in Psalms, "For I acknowledge my transgression," in Psalm 51. He said this in James. He said, "Be afflicted and mourn and weep." That's what he's talking about. James wasn't telling Christians, you all need to go around being sorry and sad. That's not what he's talking about. He said, you need conviction. Christian, you need to come under conviction. Lost people need to come under conviction. He said, listen, you want to get close to God? You need to be afflicted and mourn and weep. Like the psalmist said here, he said, "For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, the only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." That's conviction. Where we stop pandering to our sin. And we start being afflicted. The psalmist said, I will be sorry for my sin. We need conviction. But there's other fiber running this thing. And it's called repentance. Repentance. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Again, he's not telling you Christians you can't go around being happy anymore. No, he's saying you want to get close to God? You need to mourn over your sin and you need to stop making light of it and you need to repent. You need to turn. Be willing to forsake your sin. Be willing to change your life. Be willing to put up with people. Well, why'd you stop doing that, boy? Don't be ashamed. Tell them. Amen. You got under conviction. And you knew you need to repent. You can't get saved if you don't repent. That'd be like me smacking Brother Macy in the face. Whap. Oh, forgive me, brother. Whap. Oh, forgive me, brother. Whap. Oh, you know. He's not taking me seriously until I stop smacking him in the face. And he sees that I realize that I've done wrong. Then he's taking me seriously. He may still love me,
but you don't take me seriously. Amen? God ain't going to take you seriously without conviction and repentance.
Now, it doesn't mean you'll never sin again. That's why he put that in there in 1 John. He says this, Psalm 51, he said, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." See, that's repentance. When I'm finally telling the truth inside. Well, the real reason that I'm not a soul winner is because I'm afraid of what people will say to me. I'm afraid of what people will think of me. Oh, see, you're on your way to repentance now. Because you're looking at the truth. You're being truthful inside. That's where God's looking for it. He desires for us to be truthful here. Because if you're honest here, everything else will be honest. Amen? It'll cause you to become more open with people. It'll cause you to be more gracious, more compassionate with people when you're honest here. Repentance. Being honest about my sin. He said this in Luke. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said to them, "Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things?" He says, "You know those were the most wicked Galileans in all the world?" Jesus said, "I tell ye nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them. "Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? Because the tower fell on those 18? Those were the 18 worst people in Jerusalem. That's why that tower fell on them." Sounds like Job's friends, doesn't it? He said, "You think they're the worst?" Jesus said this. He says, "I tell you nay. But except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Remember when the Pharisees came to him and he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." He said, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He said, the publicans and the harlots, they are going into the kingdom of God before you. Because they are repenting. They know they need some soap, amen. But then, there is that border, isn't there? That holds everything together. That makes it an effective towel. James said, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God." It's humility. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Humility is the border that ties it all together, that keeps it from unraveling. See, because the minute a person gets to thinking, "I'm not that bad," you know what happens? The conviction starts to go away. And when the conviction starts to fall out, guess what? Repentance starts to go away. It needs a border of humility. Humility is what makes that towel worthwhile. You got the basin in your heart. You got the soap of the blood of Christ. And then you got the towel. The towel of service, amen. That's a servant's thing, you know. Have a towel. That's not the head guy, is it? That's the guy who's got a towel because he's ready to clean up a mess.
He's ready to wipe down a table. That's why he's got a towel. He's a servant. See? That's what you and I are supposed to be. The Lord can use us when we have humility. He can use us to bring people to conviction and repentance. When we have humility. They can get saved if they'll humble themselves under God's conviction. If they'll repent, if they'll humble themselves. Humility is what holds it together.
Let me give you this verse. Psalms 51, he says this, 7 through 10. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Hyssop is a type of faith. Amen. That's what they applied the blood to the posts with, if you recall, in the book of Exodus. Purge me with hyssop. The hyssop had the blood. The hyssop was used to put the blood on. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and there it is again, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. That's what you hear when you repent. Amen. When you're under conviction and you repent of your sin, and you humble yourself before God, you come to the altar, and you ask the Lord to forgive you, you ask the Lord to save you, guess what? There's joy that comes. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now you're walking with God. Amen. Now you're walking with God. You got every reason in the world to rejoice now. Because you've drawn nigh to God. And He's drawn nigh to you. You can be used now. Amen. You can be used. The basin, the soap and the towel. What part plays in your life today? Have you emptied your heart of all the junk thinking? Maybe you got some junk thinking you've been thinking this week. You need to come and dump it out. And then you need to rinse that heart out and fill it with some clean water. Amen. The Word of God. Put your faith in the Word of God. Amen. Listen, the blood of Jesus Christ, that's what washes away our sin. You sinned against the Lord, the blood's there. It's been opened. You just need to apply it. Amen. And the towel. God's convicted you. He's told you, the Holy Spirit said, why don't you repent? Humble yourself. Let it all work together. Then God can use you if you'll serve Him. Let's stand to our feet.